Good afternoon. Praise be to God.
Amen.
How are you?
I'm
also well in the Lord. He has taken good care of me, as I was introduced very well, generously by Mrs. Maranga. My name is Thegu Mutahi. Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. He has been faithful. He has taken good care of me. There's nothing I can show that has made me acceptable before him. It's grace and grace and grace that I'm here standing before you as part of the celebrations. 40 years, life beginning at 40. We thank God. Bwana asifiwe. As Mrs. Maranga said, I have a minister here before, so this pulpit knows me. Therefore, I'm glad to be studying here once again, although it has been a while. I thank the pastoral team for the invitation, the choir, the elders, the session. And all of you for the moment to speak here. I also thank God for the presence of our father, the past moderator, who has nurtured many of us in many ways. So we are happy to be in his midst, to receive blessings from him. Though the body may not be strong, we are glad to hear how strong he is spiritually. We thank God also for our mom, Mrs. Mary Wanjao. She is here. Maybe you can start and just wave because you are in the congregation. Yeah, there she is. There she is. Thank you, mom. Thank you, mom, for taking care of dad and taking care of us. My wife is also in the congregation. She could start and wave wherever she is. There she is. Yes. She looks well taken care of. Amen. It's good to blow your trumpet at times, particularly if you are going for an interview. You talk about what you are able and you have been able to do. 40 years is quite some time. I was allowed. I don't know why I missed that occasion, because I was born, but I missed that occasion of the transfer of singing from the Scottish to the Africans. And that's why I'm glad to be part of this 40, when we look back and tell God, thank you. The choir has been a very important body of this church for the time I have been here and even before and thereafter. It has been a great team. They have enriched worship in a big way in this church, in ways we cannot just explain. And we know the sacrifices they make, how they meet, how they prepare, how they rehearse, and even what they do beyond singing. Because they're even involved in mission work. I'm sure if you read the magazine, you'll find the many things that they do. Therefore, it's not in vain that singing was transferred from the Europeans to us, because it has grown. And that is evidence that there is also a future. We have seen coming and going. We have seen new faces. We have seen old faces training the new ones. Therefore, the choir has been live, because that is one of the signs of life, that the old are there, the young are there, and it has been functional. They have not disappointed. Let's give a clap to the choir. We celebrate you and are happy to be part of you. Presently, I'm at the Presbyterian University. I'm involved in training also at the Ray Training Center, where we train elders, where we train leaders. So that's the way the church is using me today, and I thank God for that opportunity. Since time is quite far gone, I want us to pray so that we may listen to the counsel of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we surrender ourselves unto you that you may speak to us. We are your children. You are our father. We are your servants, your slaves, you are our master. We want you, Lord, to take charge of the moments ahead so that we may hear your counsel and that we may not just be hearers, but doers of your will. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading was read clearly to us from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 1 through 10. Deuteronomy records the speeches of Moses. It is a repetition of what had already been promised. Moses is reminding the Israelites that the promises were made. He is repeating them, not because he has nothing better to do, but because it is important. Because he is about to die, he will leave the Israelites in the hands of other people. They are already on the verge of crossing River Jordan because they are in the land of Moab. If you study your Bible atlas, you will see that Moab is just an escarpment away from the promised land. So that is where Moses spoke to the Israelites, and the speeches he made are Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. And here he is telling them that God has good plans for you in the future. If you stay within his statutes, God has great plans for you. They have been a successful past, but there will also be a victorious future. The past has been glorious. The future is also a great future. And God is not just making an empty boast. He is not making campaign promises into the future. He has been tested that he has been a great God. Because by the time Moses is making this speech, a number of great things have been done to the Israelites by God. By this time, the Israelites had already defeated the Amalekites. There had been a battle between the two. The Israelites were ill-trained and ill-equipped, but they had won the battle, not by their might, but by the strength of the Lord, because Moses only needed to lift his hand up and the war would be fought and won. So God has a very victorious story to tell, because he facilitated the Israelites, much as they didn't have much hardware in terms of an army, but they had beaten the Amalekites without training, without equipment. In the passage we have read, he talks about their clothing, that they were never naked, that they always had footwear. Yet there was no boutique or footwear shop in the wilderness. And these guys were always smart. They were always well dressed. Again, remember, in the wilderness, there was no outside catering services. Yet, within that period, they had been fed with hot manna. Remember, there was no Kenya Meat Commission. Yet they had eaten meat. Much meat out there. I can see the men salivating. They had eaten meat. Remember, there was no footbridge or flyover, but they had crossed the Red Sea successfully. So when God talks about a great future, it's not a boast. He is not promising what he cannot deliver. Because remember again, there was no hospital in the wilderness. And these guys did not have a medical insurance. Yet when they were bitten by snakes, they had been treated of snake bites without injections, without tablets, without dressing. They needed just to look at the bronze snake that had been exalted up there by Moses, and they were well. So when God tells them that I still have good plans for you, it's not a campaign promise. It's not a PR stunt. He's not saying things that are usually said in the electioneering rallies about what shall be delivered. Milk in pipes. You know, the kind of promises that make a cow buy milk, because the promises are very sweet. These are not the promises God has, but he is telling them, if you look at my past, if you look at the way I have walked with you, you can be sure that you hold a promissory note of the future. I have already given you a foretaste. You have already eaten the first fruits. So the future is possible. In the same way, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a foretaste. It is a first fruit of our own promised resurrection. Because if Christ could rise from the dead, That is a promissory note that you and I can also rise from the dead. So a promise has been made, and has been made from very tangible examples. God has done it. He is telling the Israelites through Moses, you are about to cross River Jordan. And when you get into the promised land, for sure, good things are going to happen. You'll possess land. That land is productive. You have animals. You'll have vines. You'll be productive. You'll have a lot of fertility. And there are minerals where you go. And there is milk. And there is honey. And there will be victory. So these people had no reason to doubt, because they had witnessed the goodness of God in the 40 years. The 40 years I have been with you, you have tested me. The future is great for you. However, when we read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there was an anticlimax. Because these people were not promised to get victory without having to play a certain role, spiritual role, for them to realize the blessings. Yes, the promises have been made. And in fact, what had been done before to the Israelites had not required them to do anything. Because when God took them across the Red Sea, he did not require them to first get saved. He did not require them to first give him a testimony of salvation. He did not require them to sing for him. He did not require them to worship him. But now he is telling them, having done all that I have done for you, now you need to worship me as a matter of gratitude. Yes, worship is gratitude. Worship is not just about what God should do for us. Worship is about thanking him for his grace upon our lives. Praise be to God. We do not praise God, we do not worship God necessarily because we want to manipulate him and twist him to do certain things for us. We worship God because his God has been faithful in the past. Much as he has promised to do great things for us, we need to worship him for what he has done for us previously. However, at this point he is telling them, as for you now, I have done my part already. As we go to the next part, as this process of blessings continue, and is to be continued, like Afrocinema, it is to be continued. This process of blessings, for it to continue, you need to play your part well, your part of worship. You have tested me. You have seen my goodness. When you are still sinners, I loved you. When you are still sinners, I redeemed you. When you knew me not, even when you irritated me, because remember the Israelites had irritated God in many occasions. Remember them telling Moses that they had not engaged him to take them out of the land of bondage. Yet it is them who had cried out to God, and God had heard their cry and had literally forced Moses to lead them out of captivity. Yet here they are telling Moses, we never engaged you to get us out of where we lived, used to live, where there were melons, where there were graves, yet they are not dead, where there were graves. They were also remembering onions. I don't know for what reason. Maybe they used to make samosa. There were onions and leeks. They are so rude, yet God remained faithful to them. But he is telling them now, put to an end your arrogance. Put to an end your rebellious nature as we do business going forward. No wonder then, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is an anticlimax of people who had been received promises, but they are not going to, they do not enjoy them. Because Paul tells the Corinthians, because Corinthians, though they were not Jews, there could have been a few of them, had a rebellious nature like the Israelites. Paul had been there and had founded that church, but because of their rebellious nature, he had to write several letters to them. The two in the scriptures are not the only one. Scholars tell us that he had written another two because of their rebellious nature. And Paul is telling them, your rebellion is not very original. Well, as if you were. There were people who are called Israelites who are as rebellious as you are. And the consequences were disastrous. I lead rebellion in your behavior. Because I have been with you, I taught you, I preached to you, you became believers, but looking at you, you are not very different from the Israelites. Much as you are not Jews, although there could be a handful of Jews in your midst, you have a DNA of rebellion. But let me tell you what happens to rebellious people. God makes promises, good promises, and has good plans for them. God has good designs for people. But because of their rebellion, they lose everything. They lose big. Yet the promises are there. They are there. You just need to stretch your hand and reach them. You just need to put your palms well and receive them. The promises are there. And there is evidence that they can come because they have been there. But let me tell you what happens to rebellious people. They lose everything. All that is promised is lost. They live within a network of promises. They can feel them. Yes, there is a network of blessings in the past. And the promises in the future are already hovering over us. But they can be lost. As they were lost, if you read 1 Corinthians, that these people, much as they took spiritual drinks, much as they were baptized by Moses through the Red Sea, much as they were fed with spiritual food, God was not happy with them. And they perished because they went against the will of God, much as he had made promises. It was not the failure of God, it was their failure. And that is the challenge for us who have been blessed, like the choir here, 40 years. That our God has been faithful for 40 years. He would like to take us to another successful 40 and beyond. But we have to play our part and play it well. If that fails to happen, God forbid, and we fail to realize the blessings of God, it's not that God has changed. It's because we have misbehaved. So the network of 40 years ahead, choir, is there for you. Yes, there will be a bigger magazine. Bonus, if you will. There will be even a more beautiful CD to come. And the choir will be bigger and better. The Spirit is saying so. But you must play your part with our support. You must do what is expected of you. You must meet and practice. You must rehearse. You must build and consolidate unity. You must follow your leaders. You must work with the church. There is a future, a great future. Not necessarily physically for you, although it could be. But as Martin Luther King Jr. said, he could see the promised land. But he says, I may not be there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. That is what Martin Luther says when he shares the dream that he has been to the mountaintop. He has looked over and he has seen the promised land. But he says, I may not get there with you. But he says, we as a people will get to the promised land. So that's why we are saying the 40 years ahead, years of success, are promised. They are there. And they can be reached. They can be realized in the same way 40 years have been realized today. And it's a joy to have the past moderator who was there. History tells me that he came here in 1968 as an African in the midst of the Scottish people, Scottish ministers, Scottish membership, 1968. Papa, it must have been very lonely. But he was here with dear wife, Mom. And he, by 1973, I think that's when he took over as the moderator of this session. The Scottish people started to let go, but we thank them, we owe them a lot. So the 40 years have been years of great things happening. You hear, within those 40 years, we were broadcasting live from here. I was shown some years back a connection by Elder Karegedhe of what connected us to the national service, I suppose, that I could speak here and the whole country would hear. It hasn't been 40 years that have been in vain. It has been 40 years of great things happening to us. But God is telling us now, we need even to be more vigilant spiritually. In the same way that God did not expect a lot of the Israelites, and he overlooked some of their excesses in the first 40. Because even when they insulted Moses, he tolerated it. Even when they did not worship him as they should, he forgave them. But he is now telling them, in the next 40 will be tougher. I'll be more tougher with you. Because I expect you now to have now grown and matured to a point where you can follow me. Otherwise, if it doesn't happen, the story of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 may be your story. But remember once again, you are living within a network of blessings. But again, remember that past success is not guarantee of future victory. We thank God for the 40 years, for the much that has been achieved. It's however not a guarantee of a great 40 unless we put our best foot forward of prayer, of worship, of preparing ourselves well, of doing what is expected of us. Yes, we are living within a network of a victorious future, like the Israelites before they crossed the River Jordan. Moses is telling them, these are the blessings before you. We are living in the network of blessings. But remember, if you work in a soap factory, that is not enough to make you clean. The mere fact that you work in a soap factory. You can work in a soap factory and remain unkempt because you have not done what is expected to be clean. So much as we are living within the network of God's blessings, if we do not do our part, the blessings are taken away from us. Not because God desires that we don't receive blessings, because he starts from a positive point of view, that there are blessings before you. He starts by saying, there is land. There will be descendants. You'll be victorious. There will be minerals. There will be honey. There will be milk. All those are mentioned, and then they are told, okay, since that's the network, but remember, you have a part to play to reach that 40. Yes, the past success is not a guarantee of a future victory. If you doubt that, read the story of Samson in Judges 16, as from particularly verse 20, where Samson had achieved a great deal because the Spirit of God was upon him. He was able to pull down gates. He was able to commit genocide. Using the jaw of a donkey, because that's genocide. He was able to achieve a lot. Then on this day, when he had already been shaved, and Delilah told him, Samson, the Philistines are about you. And in his sleep, he said, I'll get up, as I have used to do. I'll get hold of the Philistines as I have used to do, and I'll destroy them as I'm used to doing. But the writer tells us he didn't know that the Spirit of God had deserted him. So the moment he got up to do what he was good at, he didn't have the strength. It was gone. They gouged out his eyes. Yes, here was a man who had a past great legacy, but it was not translated into a success now and going forward. You too, you are a child of God, and there have been a great future. There are great expectations. God still has the good plans for you as a man, as a woman. He still has good plans for you as a family. He has good plans for us as a country, as a church. We are living within a network of victory into the future. But let's beware that we do not lose that future, that it does not become a lost future because we do not worship God as God. We do not go before him with prayer and supplication. We do not surrender ourselves to God fully. So what may go wrong is not because God has taken away his blessings. It is because we have not played our part as we should. Therefore, as we take stock of the 40 years that have been singing and performance and good things happening within the church, let us also plan for the next 40. Not just the choir, but even us as Christians, because their joy, their celebration is also our celebration. As we take stock of the 40 years, the crossing of River Jordan, the defeat of the Amalekites, the food, the manna food, the quails, the bronze snake, all those are success points. As we celebrate those ones, let's tell God we see you are able to do it for us and with us. Going forward, we want to witness the blessings that are ahead. Help us play our part. Help us meet your expectations, because it is doable. We do not want to be like the proverbial person who lived near a river. In Shinu Achebe's book, Things Fall Apart, there was a man who lived near a river but washed his face with saliva. Yet he lived near a river. The main character says, I don't want to be like that man who lived near a river and washed his face with saliva. We live near a river because there are promises before us. There are promises and promises and promises they are made here in Deuteronomy. But if we do not do our part, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is our lesson. And may God help us not to be part of that bad lesson, but be the part of a good lesson. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Amen.